Hey, it's Trevor Grant. Welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. Today's podcast, we talk with three guests, Veit and Till, our regular guests from Berner and Becker. And we're also joined by Vasilis, CEO of Duio Analytics. In this discussion, we look at forward-looking data. We touch on what is forward-looking data and how far forward are we looking? Is forward-looking data the holy grail or just a shiny new distraction? What are some of the forward-looking data sets? And finally, what can I actually do with some of this data? I hope you enjoy the conversation. So let's get started. Hi, guys. Great to see you all. We've got three guests today. So Veit, good to see you again. How are you? Well?
Very good. Thanks, Trevor.
Excellent. Hi, Till, good to see you again. Thanks for joining us. You well?
Yeah, very well. Welcome, everyone.
Perfect. And Vasilis, you haven't joined us before. We've done a few of these with Veit and Till previously. So thanks for coming on board. How are things with you guys?
Thank you for having me. Very well.
Jolly good. Jolly good. Okay, let's kick off, I guess, if we do a quick introduction. If we go sort of Veit, Till, and then Vasilis, that would be great. So Veit, over to you.
Yeah, I think pretty much everyone here on the Revenue Hub has heard my voice in the past. So my name is Veit, working for Berner Becker Revenue Management as Director of Operations and Development, taking care of internal processes, but also trying to spread the word around the topic of revenue management and how it's going to evolve. So I think we've got a really nice topic today. Let's crack on.
Absolutely. And Till, over to you.
Great. Also with Berner Becker Revenue Management, my name is Till. I'm a senior revenue manager in the organization and also responsible for employee development, so bringing new employees up to speed and developing them in excellent revenue managers. And so I'm really looking forward to this discussion today on forward-looking data.
Perfect. And last but by no means least, Vasilis, over to you.
Yeah, and I'm Vasilis. I'm the founder and head of product at Duio Analytics, which is a business intelligent application software for anything that has to do with commercial performance for hotels.
Perfect. Brilliant. Thank you all for the introductions. Let's kick off. So as Till mentioned, our discussion today is around forward-looking data. The new phrase that seems to be on all the articles and everything that you read and hear, and we're going to dig into this a little bit through this conversation. But to kick it off, let's first ask the question, what is forward-looking data? Vasilis, I guess as you guys are coming from this analytics perspective, maybe I can pass that over to you and you can give us your take on it.
Sure. I'd say very simplistically, it's everything that's us from tomorrow, or maybe even tonight. But I think you can sort of break it down into two categories, right? One is any internal data that you have looking for the future, which is relatively simple to gather, perhaps. And then you have where the hype is all about is everything that is external data that is forward-looking, sort of looking into the future. So I think these are the two types.
No, that makes sense. Okay, which leads us into, I guess, the question that I pose as the moderator, which is, okay, is forward-looking data, is it the holy grail for hotels? Is it a shiny new distraction? Because we know how industries love something new. Or is it an additional layer? So who wants to take this on first?
I think that's a very differentiated question, right? If I could only answer that question with a proper answer, that would be great. But I think I can't. However, I think what we've seen in the past now, and I'm also talking pre-corona, we've seen that trend emerging, obviously, from, you know, a pure revenue management perspective, trying to find different layers of data that, together with that whole focus of a future revenue manager, of being more strategic and being more aware of also what is happening around the hotel and around different pieces of market information, So as I said, we've seen that trend emerging, and I think it's something that only got fostered over that period of Corona now, and will obviously be accelerating even more as we step out of hopefully that crisis. And I think I don't want to call it Holy Grail, because we also have to make sure that we are differentiating the noise from what is actually actionable at the end of the day. But I think it's simply a very, very important layer to add onto whatever we have seen in terms of historical data, plus also from what we know that is happening in our hotel directly. So we just gotta open our eyes basically and have a more well-rounded understanding of, you know, what is actually happening, and forward-looking data, especially whenever it comes to anything future related, and seeing maybe also the recovery of different markets coming in, and how web searches are evolving is certainly going to be something that is extremely valuable to any one of us.
That makes sense. So we're going to touch into some of the data sources and data points in a moment. But anyone else got a broad answer to the broad question?
Well, the broadest answer I could give to you is, if you leverage it right, it can be a very helpful tool, as with any other thing that industries are embracing to move forward. This is one piece of data, as Veit already said, that could give you a bit of a clearer picture on the future. While prior to Corona, we had a tremendously long period of constant growth, where I felt that it wasn't still easy to predict the future, but you had lots and lots of data points that you could pull from historical data to make assumptions on the future. But now with Corona in place, you really need to shift your view back from this old data, which in many cases is quite obsolete, to forward-looking data, in a sense that you now need to see, okay, where's my pickup happening in the future? Which other data sources can I pull in? And Veit already mentioned a bit like website traffic, and I think we will cover some other parts later in the discussions as well, to make okay-ish assumptions for the future. And I'm saying okay-ish because right now we are still in a very volatile situation. So that's why forward-looking data could also help you to identify, okay, where is pickup really happening, where is something going on that might be of importance to me.
That makes sense. Vasilis, anything to add into that?
Yeah, no, I also agree with what you guys are saying. Definitely not the Holy Grail. And actually, I don't think there is one piece of data that is the Holy Grail. But as everything, it's usually a good cocktail is made with a few ingredients, all in their right sort of, you know, mix or quantity, so to speak. And one of these new ingredients is also forward-looking data. I think that's the first one. So to be used with moderation sometimes, to be used more some other times. And I think the other thing also with Veit touched upon, actionability. That is really, really key. What are the data pieces? What am I doing with it?
No, that makes good sense. And one of the things, I think you mentioned it earlier, Vasilis, when you spoke about forward-looking data, and you said, well, forward-looking could be this evening, it could be next week, it could be next month. Is there a general, when people use the term forward-looking data, is there a period in mind that people generally talk about? Are they really thinking tonight, tomorrow, this week, or are they tending to look further out in the months ahead, or is it literally just anything that isn't at this current moment in time?
I think it depends a little bit what kind of organization you're into and where you sit. You know, if you're a big chain, probably forward-looking data, you're interested a couple of months down the road. If you're a hotel owner, forward-looking data for you is, say, 1 year from now, or maybe even 1.5 years from now. If you are in a very tactical position, it's what's happening today and the next days. You know, as lead times are really, really short, if you're busy with revenue management today, I mean, 2 weeks out doesn't really, you know, not much is happening. It's really so short term. So it depends a little bit where you sit in the organization.
That makes sense. Anything to add into that, guys?
No, absolutely. Fully agree on that point. It very much depends on, you know, who has to do something with that sort of data.
Yeah.
And what is it needed for, right? A revenue manager who's in a very operational and a very tactical position and who's only interested right now in the next 2 to 4 weeks to see what's happening is not going to do anything with any forward-looking data that is further out than 3 months or so right now, because nothing is happening then. Whereas others who are more into that strategic positioning would rather be looking into, okay, can I find some sort of trends that forward-looking data can give me where I can say, okay, I can see my, I don't know, website traffic or my web surges or arrival surges for the Easter period in 2021. They are shooting up. What should that tell me? What do I have to do with that?
And I think, I agree. Tilt, sorry. Yeah. Anything to add into that or?
It's really dependent on the action you're carrying out. If you're looking at short-term price changes or yielding, of course, it's within maybe the next 7 days, which seems to be the general agreed lead time nowadays. But if you're looking more like forecasting 6 months out, you will definitely look into maybe if you're on an island, flight data for those 6 months out and try to find any peak. Upcoming peak periods for the next year, and same would go for budgets, because we're also in budget season at the moment, at least for some hotels still. So you could leverage forward-looking data as well to try to predict, okay, how's gonna my 2021 look like? Do we see more people looking for flights coming into the island? Or what's the other prediction on website traffic? Are people Googling holiday homes for next year rather than hotel stays?
No, that makes sense.
All that could have an impact.
That makes sense. And we started to touch there on the sources. So maybe that's a good point to get into looking at, okay, so what actually are the data sources? What are the data points? But I think there's also then a secondary area that we'll get into and picking up on your point there, Vite, which is, okay, data is one thing, but then what is actually actionable? And what are we going to do about it? So how about we first jump into some of the sources that are often discussed and we should be looking at from a forward data point of view. Do you want to take that on, Vasilis? Is that something in your space?
Sure. I mean, from the sources perspective, I think you can. So obviously, you have everything that is internal, right? So which is your PMS forward looking data. Then let's say that's what you have in your drawer, right? It's just really close to you. You can understand it. It's very easy to grasp. Then if you go a little bit forward, you have everything that's sort of Comset data, which is sort of in your area. And we have many companies that are busy in that part now, some more granular, some less granular, that have this sort of forward-looking data, which is good. Then I would say above that, there is forward-looking data that is actual bookings. So it's like booking activity that has actually happened. That can be airlines, for instance, or any online travel agent sort of forward-looking data. And then you have the sort of top layer, which is more around searches, more around booking intent, which is starting to be a little bit more fuzzy, let's say. So you could say, here's the sort of four categories. I don't know if there's four of them. I just made it up, but here's the four that I can think about now.
It sounded very convincing.
I was there. I'd got it.
But I think maybe just to add on that, in my opinion, it's anything that has to do with data that can draw a picture of the mobility and where people would go, basically, and what they are searching for. Mm-hmm. And what they're looking for, and maybe what they are also dreaming for. So just maybe to pick up on that point of, you know, looking at airline data, the same could be said about train data. Yeah, is there any density of more trains coming into a certain train station at a certain point in time, which is maybe relevant for a hotel that is closely located to a main station of a city, whatever. Mm-hmm. Something like this. And it's simply about, you know, you want to get that bigger picture of what is happening. And I feel that's has all to do with, you know, how people draw the picture of their mobility.
So it comes into so intent in a sense. There's an indication and an intent that something is going to be happening as compared to what you already have on the books that is going to be happening in the future. Is that right, Till? Do you have any?
Yeah, it's a bit like with people in a group, we always talk about stakeholders in, let's say, a project or something similar. And here, I guess, forward-looking data means a bit the same. You want to have a look at everything that could potentially impact your business in the future. And we talked about flight data. Another example that just popped into my head is, for example, weather forecasts, especially on resort locations or airports where you have a lot of layover business. If you have a big storm coming in, that could mean that the airline operation is deceased and you get a lot of room for overnight stays because people can't fly out and they need to be placed somewhere. So that could mean you need to increase rates to basically reflect that higher demand. Mm-hmm. All that plays a role and everything that's basically making an impact on your business.
So I guess, as you say, then back to the points that you guys have mentioned, I mean, you're talking, you know, weather, so that could affect demand, you know, flights, and I want to come back to that one, like trains, I guess car hire as well. If there's a pickup, I suppose, in car hire in your destination, then maybe there's a reason why that is happening. Are they the core, you know, that's showing an intent? And then, as you say, searches for your destination, I guess, searches around the length of stay that people might be looking, whether it's a 2-3 day or a week. I mean, is that all that sort of layer of information coming in? Is that the key points?
Yeah, I think so, especially on the searches. I think, you know, it's super interesting to see where those searches are coming from, for which kind of arrival dates, for which kind of lengths of stay, which kind of area, maybe in a city or maybe in a certain destination is requested, what the feeder markets are in general, maybe what the feeder cities are as well. Mm-hmm. And obviously around all those points, like if you have tools that can help with, you know, compiling that data, and the good thing is obviously always Google Trends on that end.
Right.
I think then it becomes a question at the next step to say, okay, how much does this really affect me? Does it tell me anything, right? Or is it only distracting me from something else?
Yeah, and I think that's the point I wanted to just bring in, and you maybe use flights as an example. Whenever we're reading articles that then we look to publish on Revenue Hub, and you know, we try and reflect what the current trends are or direction of travel, flights is often one that is picked up. And sometimes I look at it and I think, okay, so if I know that there are more flights coming into Munich Airport or Heathrow Airport or whatever, what does that actually tell me? What can I actually do with it? And is it relevant, or is it just picking up on your point? Is it just another layer of data that I've got to think I should be doing something about, but actually, can I really effectively do anything with it? Who wants to pick up that?
Yeah, I can say something about that. And also, it's a question of how available that data is. So, for instance, if I'm sitting in Heathrow and I'm the only revenue manager in town that knows that there's increased flight data for Heathrow on a particular weekend, but it's not like crazy a lot. It's more, right? I mean, if I'm the only one that knows, what can I do with it? Increase my prices? Nobody else knows. So, like, you know, how is that going to translate into some sort of revenue strategy that will give me a competitive advantage? Mm-hmm. We tend to think about the extremes. Hey, I'm the first one to know that this crazy event that's happening that is bringing like 50,000 people, and I'm going to know and I'm going to crush the concept. But usually, the majority of the time, it is a little bit more, a little bit less, some sort of extremes left and right. But then the majority, 98% of the time, that's what we are dealing with, and translating into something that you say, oh, I'm going to increase my rate by 10% or 20% or whatever that is, if we take that actionability, because there's more things that you can do. It's questionable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And depends also, we mentioned Heathrow. But let's say, again, like in our application, we have forward-looking data in terms of airlines, for instance. But we say to a lot of customers, just don't, you shouldn't get that. I mean, you know, you're in Dortmund. You really don't care about that. For instance, you know?
Yeah, that's also a very, very good point there. You also need to know how you work with the data, as Vasily just pointed out. If you're sitting in Heathrow and you have a lot of competition, and let's say on a normal weekend, you sell 50% of your inventory, you know that you will never be full, even if flights increase by a couple of percentage points. Should you really raise rates or should you stay competitive? Mm-hmm. Because if nobody's following you, basically it could even mean that you're staying with a half empty hotel or less occupancy than you would have been before, because your comp set stayed low, you increased the rates and just went in totally wrong direction.
Yeah,
you're making a very good point, Till, because it's all about how you're going to interpret that data indeed. Yeah, and you need to be sort of, you know, strategic enough and conscious of that interpretation of, hey, yeah, what does that mean now? True.
But what we take away from that discussion is basically it's all so much dependent on also our competitive landscape, right? Because if we are the only ones knowing about something in the future to happen, or there's an indicator of something could happen in the future, but no one else knows, we're simply bound to, you know, what the rest of the market is maybe doing.
Yeah,
game theory.
You cannot make advantage of it, right?
And really, what is the likelihood of one revenue manager in one hotel knowing one thing that all the others don't?
Very low. But, you know.
But it could make a difference.
Yeah.
I'm going moving now from this flight example back to the one that I gave in terms of weather forecast. I'm responsible for one property that sits in a ski resort. Mm-hmm. And there it makes a difference how the skiing conditions are. Yeah. So you look at the weather forecast and you can definitely tell how the next or even the weekend after is going to play out. Because if it's rainy and you have a couple of degrees plus in terms of Celsius, like 1 or 2 degrees, you probably have less demand for people going up into the mountains, go skiing. But if you have a perfect winter day and you know you anyway sell out on the weekends, there's definitely room for improvement in terms of ADR.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. And for, I guess, for a property like that, depending on the size, a simple decision like that can be really the difference between a okay day to wow, this was a really really good performance.
Definitely.
It's a little bit different depending which property, what are you looking for.
It's a lot about interpreting basically the data. And just another example just pops into my head from forward-looking data that all hotels basically have at hand but might not directly come into your mind when you look at your strategy for the next year is, for example, staying with an example of resort destinations is a holiday schedule, knowing where your feeder markets are and then knowing their holiday schedule, because that's probably your peak demand season. So when people can travel. So you're sitting in the Mediterranean and your majority of the people are coming from England or Germany. You definitely want to be prepared to go into peak season, which will probably sit around July, August, maybe beginning of September. So that's some very easy, accessible data, which I guess is sometimes overlooked.
So I guess listening to this, what we're kind of pulling out one area here where we've got sets of occurrences, whether it be weather, maybe suddenly an area has opened up and events are going to be happening, so that's going to create demand. You could have, as you say, we're seeing an uptick in train journeys or car hires or flights. So that's helping us, if we can use it to overlay the forward-looking data we already have in the hotel bookings that we currently have, and then looking at how that influences our revenue strategy for that period. What about in terms of, is there a way where this forward-looking data, and back to this intent piece that you mentioned earlier, Veit, when you were talking about it in terms of the travel, and we've mentioned the flights and the trains, but then we looked at sort of searches that are going on and where those destination, where those searches are coming from and the period of time, and using that intent, in terms of how we can be better about targeting to try and create demand rather than just responding to potential demand? Where does that want to fit in? Who wants to, anyone got something to pick up on that side?
I have some opinions, but maybe Wade wanted to say something.
Yeah, happy to. I think especially when it comes to that piece of web searches and website traffic for specific dates, you want to get to know more about it, right? Where are those people coming from? And I think if we're just combining a little bit of what we have usually done in the past with what this forward-looking data could tell us, I'm picking up again on that example of, let's say, a feeder market analysis. Historically, we've only looked at feeder markets as a review of what has been there in the past, right? So we know roughly, okay, it's going to probably look the same in the year to come or in the months to come. And we can tailor make our marketing campaigns or ad campaigns around that and jump onto those markets where we historically know that they have a relevance for us. But what if we have that insight basically from forward-looking data based on feeder markets and based on feeder cities, based on feeder regions, right? We could be much more detailed and we could be much more granular going in and spend our marketing money wisely in, you know, helping, let's say, trough periods out, because we know exactly, okay, in that period of time, we might be seeing a lot of business because of those surges rising up from the Austrian market or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we would increase our spend maybe on marketing campaigns for the Austrian market, because we simply know that this is a fact, right? And it's not just an illusion or something that we believe from what has happened in the past.
Yeah.
So there's things we can make use of there.
It really helps you to discover a shift in customer demand. So you're not putting more money into maybe a market that is contracting, but you definitely want to bet on that that winning horse that's going to drive future business into your property.
Yeah,
I guess that would really help if you have forward-looking data that supports your analysis on where do my potential future guests are coming from, and then going into more granular data or more detailed data in terms of, okay, these people are coming to my website and what are they doing on my website? Are they actually looking for stay dates? Do I understand why they maybe haven't completed the booking? Because that's also another layer of data that has not been so widely available in the past, to really understand why does a customer not make purchase on the hotel's website. I guess that's something that lots of e-commerce businesses do in normal retail, where they do all these A/B testing, etc. And is that blue buy now button better than the red one, or vice versa? Is that hotel companies, I guess, are not really leveraging that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that is true. And then you one thing you can look at is hotel websites in how many languages they are translated. Mm-hmm. So you can have, let's say, a website that is, let's say, in English, German, and French, but actually it's the Spanish that have an interest for the destination. Well, if you know that, then you better translate your website into Spanish, perhaps. That would help in terms of conversion. But I think that, like, also to your point, Wade, is that there is a wealth of data already that's sitting in the hotel in terms of feeder markets, for instance. So chances are that there is underutilized information there also that you can learn and that you can target your customers. And I would say where it gets interesting to combine external one is indeed from a digital marketing perspective, when you start bridging, you maybe not from the revenue management tactical one, but more towards digital and sort of acquisition, where you can say, okay, there's something that we didn't really know, that it is actually the destination is quite popular with Italians for whatever reason, and that's something that we haven't done enough to get our share of that business. But I would say that is more the way you need to look at it, probably, and I don't know if you guys agree, it's a bit more strategic. Like, it's not that Italians are searching maybe for the 15th of June and Spanish are searching for the 17th. Yes, maybe because there's a bank holiday change and they're on holidays, but that is things that you already probably Probably no. So I think it's coming back a little bit to that initial question, like, is it the Holy Grail? No, but it's quite interesting and complementary.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anything to add to that?
No, I agree.
And one of the things we've often spoken about on previous recordings that we've done is comp set. I guess we are, and I'd never like to assume, but I guess we're assuming that when we're looking at this forward-looking data and we're talking about the fact that, yeah, I might not be the only revenue manager or GM that's picked up on this happening, that also looking at our comp set and what is going on in addition to that layer of forward-looking data that we have, I guess if we are sitting there and we've picked up on something and we're developing a strategy, then am I right to think if you're going and looking at your comp set and seeing if they're adjusting their pricing for that particular period? I mean, is that a piece of forward-looking data that adds into this or not?
It depends a bit, but I love this point because I leveraged it quite a lot in the past.
Right.
Especially if you're competing in a market where you have a property with lots of function space. That would be like my perfect example for it. And you have a couple of other competitors in the city, but only a handful that can, let's say, accommodate groups of the same size. You just need to look at their pricing moving forward, for example, if you don't have any other system at hand, and you can directly see if they are maybe sold out on a particular date, standard rooms are sold out, or their pricing is just up, that there is a high probability of that they already have a big group in.
Yeah.
So that gives you a bit of a leverage point there in maybe quoting future group requests that you know your comp set can take at a higher price for your property. And you then have hopefully higher chances to converting it. And also there is some other software also available that gives you the occupancies at least for your comp set moving forward. I'm not sure if that's already available per segment, but at least as a whole. So you can also make better predictions about the future because you can see how at least your comp set is filling up in certain periods.
Yeah.
And then you can take that data and interpret it in a way that, for example, you still have a lot of space, but your comp set is already fully booked. Does that mean I need to lower my rates now because I don't get any pickup and at the end of the day, I'm not reaching full occupancy?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it that one particular business week that always turns out super strong at the end of the day and my comp set just sold it too cheap? They're running full and now I can increase my rates even further because I'm, let's say, the only one left in the market to accommodate the remaining demand.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if you can see your competitions booked up with groups, then you know, anyone that wants to stay in the hotel, they've already booked out. So there's an opportunity for you, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can get that sort of extra layer of confidence of saying, hey, I want to be a little bit bold here, but I can now take a calculated risk. Like I can be bold, but I know that the data suggests that I might be successful. So there you can go with more confidence in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I like that calculated risk because that's actually what we want to do is base it on numbers yeah. and not just gut feeling.
Everything's right. calculated. But again, yeah. I mean,
you also just got to make sure you're monitoring that specific decision that you took and the outcome that it has very constantly, because it might also be the case that, you know, one of their room types on a given day in the comp set for some specific hotel was simply sold out.
Yeah.
Higher room type was shown, you think, oh my God, they have increased rates. I can follow them. The next day, you're not checking on it. They probably have loaded some inventory on the lower end room types again. And then you're sitting there being priced out of the market. Could also happen. So that's,
It's the famous revenue management quote that says, you're as stupid as your stupidest competent hotel. Or is there something like that? You know, it's true. It's true. You need to really pay attention to that. Yeah. The revenue manager in a holiday, he forgot to change the rates. And you're like, oh my God, what's happening in that hotel?
Yeah.
Just
true.
But that's why it's so important to not just look at your competition and monitor and copy whatever they are doing, is to really take it as one piece of the puzzle and bake it into your strategy moving forward.
Yeah.
I just want to pick up on that, on that last sort of 3-4 minutes of conversation, because we framed it within this discussion of forward-looking data because there's this big thing about forward-looking data, because historical data isn't relevant at this current time. But that last 3-4 minutes is everything that we would be doing anyway, isn't it? Or should be doing anyway, looking forward and looking at our comp centers. I mean, that's nothing radically new, but we're kind of talking about it as if it's not something that is done as a standard operation.
I think this is just partially true, because of course these are like these typical revenue management points in terms of monitoring what our comp set is doing in terms of pricing, availability, our on the book situation, that has already been there, I would say. Mm-hmm. Also, people have had business on the books moving forward, so this is nothing brand new. I think what is really important is to understand that there are many more layers of data nowadays available that you can take on top of it for some kind of, let's say, cross-dimensional analysis to enhance your decision-making process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was the point I was leading to. So thanks for picking that up. but you know, these are practices we do, and sometimes we do them monotonously is the wrong word, but kind of routine, without actually overlaying maybe some additional information to decide, do we need to change that strategy? Is something influencing that? What do I do different with it? Mm. So rather than it just being a routine task, here's another layer to actually help you refine the strategy and maybe reinforce it, make that calculated decision you mentioned before, Vasilis.
Yeah, exactly. And where I like this discussion going, it's because it's really also, we talked a lot about interpreting the results, having the necessary know-how about how to look at that and not just blindly sort of look, oh, the graph looks like this, so, you know, let's just go all the way into to do whatever we can to capture that demand. No, it's interpretation, nuance, and getting that layer of confidence to sort of let's say action it. So that's what I like most about it.
Makes sense. Any a couple of other follow up questions I've got here, but anything else to add or follow into that before I ask something else? Vite, you got anything? Nope. You good?
No, it's what I said in the beginning. It's about differentiating between the noise and the actionability.
Yeah.
I think this is what it's all about. We have that awareness of that this data, this kind of set of data is available. There's various layers. We just have to make use of it in a sensible way, basically.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I just wanted to then touch on and kind of move us along is, you know, these last 6 months, 9 months have been particularly hard. People have lost jobs. Hotels are much tighter in terms of budgets. So on one side, you would look and think, you know, I don't have the budget to maybe invest, because this data doesn't come free. You know, you've got to engage somebody to bring you that data. There may be some free elements out there you guys can highlight. But in my mind, I'm sitting there thinking, well, if I've got less resource, as in terms of people, investing in that extra layer of information helps to provide me more that I can then use a lower resource to make more sophisticated strategies that I can then evaluate much more effectively and potentially give me a return on that on that investment. Did I say that in a way that everyone followed?
So, it's a long question.
Yes, I apologize for that. I tend to do that at times.
I think those were a couple of questions, but
yeah.
Anyone wants to go first?
Can I go?
Yeah, go for it.
So I think when times are good, you know, what you're trying to do is that, let's say, you can really optimize on the small bits. You know, it's like, okay, we're like running at 95-98% occupancy. You're trying to get this extra rate. You're trying to optimize on acquisition costs. You try to squeeze optimization left and right. So there is value in sort of having that data for sure. I think there's counterintuitive, but I think in these times now, you need actually more, because now what you're doing, you're not trying to optimize the last euro. What you're trying to do, I think, is filter failure. So yeah, it's make sure that you don't do mistakes or miss things that you wouldn't have seen, because these can actually cost you a lot. So it's, let's make sure that we don't make many mistakes. Let's make sure that we don't do the wrong thing. And I think that's where you can have extra value. So it's different how you use it.
And thank you. The word was counterintuitive. That's exactly what I was looking for.
It's really not like in times of high demand, you're presented plenty of opportunities to optimize and gain extra revenues. But these opportunities in such times of crisis are very, very scarce. So you need to make sure that you're equipped to capture every opportunity that is on your way moving forward, and that you really make the most out of those days that still present opportunities. But on the other hand, also you want to know, when does the business come back?
Yeah.
And that might be in your pickup data at some point, where you see, as we heard it earlier, maybe Easter period next year is already showing signs of relief, or maybe next summer is picking up already. Mm-hmm. But what you don't see in your normal on the books data is all that opportunity in the next year, maybe, that has not materialized because your rates are too high. People are dropping out of the booking process at a certain stage because maybe your booking engine is not working properly, or your prices are too high, you're being too restrictive. So I think it's very well invested money, although I do understand the difficult situation of many hoteliers nowadays, but I would say it's you're leaving more money on the table than you would spend on such a forward-looking data solution.
Yeah,
I think in the current context, maybe as a summary of what you two guys have been saying, but it is about trend and opportunity spotting. And then secondly, once you have done that, act with confidence, as you've been saying earlier. So you know exactly that the money you might be spending, or that the opportunities you can grab, are actually the right ones, right? And you haven't lost time and resources basically to chase for them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's also a right balance. You know, if you're a hotel, a lot of hotels are struggling. So, you know, obviously you can't say, hey, buy every sort of tool that you have in the market. But there is a middle way between going full on forward looking data or just looking at last year on the books, which is just plain irrelevant. There's probably a middle way into already turning your own forward looking data or your recently booking pace data in such a way that you already get an information about the future. So if you can't afford it, there's probably different ways, let's say, to actually get to maybe a similar result.
Yeah, using the data you already
have. And being more creative about, hey, how do we look at these things? And I think if there's a good thing out of this pandemic, I'm an optimist, so I try to find good things everywhere, which is hard. But one thing is that definitely from a revenue management perspective, I think it will force, and it has forced, people to actually think different about looking their data. You know, we've been, I don't know how long you've been, I've been doing revenue management for 20 years now. So I used to calculate things on an Excel. So there was no revenue management software whatsoever. But let's say, what we used to look at is last year on the books, you know, how did we finish? But I think this is a good trigger to start thinking more creatively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point. I'm conscious of time, guys, because you've already given up some of your a lot of your time already. But I think we've covered a lot of the points that we wanted to in terms of what actually is forward looking data, where does it fit in, what is the value. Let's at least make sure it's not more data for data's sake, but that it's data that is actionable I think the point that's come out in the last number of minutes while we've been talking is that there is information also that we currently have available to us, and that this it's about utilizing that and then overlaying this additional layer to maybe add a level of refinement that maybe enables us to be possibly be more targeted around our promotions, have a greater idea of what may be going on and how we can be more confident about calculated risk around our strategies. So yes, it certainly doesn't seem to be the holy grail. It certainly seems to be more an additional layer, but a layer that would seem to have some value if it's being used strategically to look at those, to look at the campaigns that you have or your revenue management strategies coming together. That's certainly what I've picked up from the call. Is there any other kind of comments or summaries on that?
All good.
Okay. All good. You provided a perfect summary, I would say.
Yeah.
Silence to me is good news. That means we've done a good job. Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you joining us today. Thank you for the time. And more importantly, thank you for the insights and some of the practical advice as well. Really, really valuable, really useful.
Thanks very much.
You will take care.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that's the end of our conversation today. I'd like to thank Veit, Till, and Vasilis for joining us, and I hope you found the conversation interesting. Feel free to get in contact. We're always keen to hear your thoughts, and we will follow up with our guests if you have any questions. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link will be in the notes below. And if you can subscribe on YouTube, that would be great because it really helps us out. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.